good to Bruce. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to read you a little story out of the Bible. Glory to God. That's always good. Amen. Amen. It's His Word that puts us over in life. I said it's His Word that puts us over in life. Hallelujah. I found it's not the Bible that I have on my desk. It's not the Bible that I have, you know, memorized from years ago. It's the Bible that I have before me. It's the Word that I allow to come into me and change me. But listen to this. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "And so it was that the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God, that He stood at the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing at the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put it out a little from the land. And He sat down and He taught the multitudes from the boat. But when He stopped speaking, He said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking, so they might signal to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' And for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid, for now you will catch men.'" Hallelujah. There's several things that I want to show you in this, but we're going to get to the verse that I want. But the first thing is if you do, you give something to God, He'll turn around and bless you for it, right? He'll use the very thing that you're giving to Him and turn it around and cause it to multiply to you, right? What did Simon give him? The boat. He just got out, go ahead. And he preached. He used the boat to preach with. But God said, "I'm not done with you or the boat. I'm going to bless you out of the boat." Isn't that awesome? So what I'm saying to you today is it doesn't cost you to give to God. It pays you to give to God. And it's not always, I see it. I did it on Monday, so I'm expecting by Monday afternoon to get it back. And sometimes it's not always, you know, He didn't get 10 more boats, but He did get a lot of fish. Right? Now, here, there's several things that I want you to get and listen in this parable. So let's go back up to verse number 1. And He said, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God." Just there, we could preach right there. They pressed in to hear the Word of God. They'd heard the fame of God, but they pressed in to hear. In other words, there was a crowd, a multitude. Most commentaries say up to 5,000 men. So there's a lot of people pressing in to hear the Word of the Lord. What I need to ask myself, and I need to ask you, are we pressing in to hear the Word of the Lord? Right? Because if we're not pressing in, we may not hear it. I got to press to hear. What do you have to press through? Being tired? You got to press through maybe not feeling anything. Yeah. You have to press through the struggle to get to do something. Sometimes it's a struggle to get to church. Yep. Right? Sometimes it's a struggle to turn on a show that God is asking you to watch or a broadcast or something. God's wanting to speak to you, but you have to push through the not wanting to the want to. All right, you got to press through. Listen, I don't feel like it, but I'm going anyway. I have found that sometimes the time that I feel the least like doing it, when I push through it, is the time when God blesses me the most. Right? come on, I don't feel like doing this. Lord, I'd rather stay in bed. I'd rather not. Come on. But I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to push through it. Why? Because I need to hear the word of the Lord. How many in the room need to hear from God? Come on. Yeah, all of us do. And whether we know it or not, we need to hear from God. Look at, we'll go down into verse 4. It said, and when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, the Bible talks about how they've been fishing all night. They caught nothing. They're putting their nets up. They were done for the day. They were going home to hopefully come back tomorrow and try this again because it didn't work too well that night. But, and Jesus is saying, listen, a Jesus who was a carpenter was telling a fisherman where to fish, when to fish, and how to go out to fish. I don't know about you, but I've had people who don't know what they're talking about tell me what to do, and it doesn't come across straight. Right? It's like, you know, I had this one friend, he'd been in construction his whole life, did remodels his whole life, and I'm not telling you that this is what he should have done, but he'd go to work for this lady and he'd be redoing her kitchen, and every night after he went home, her father, who knew nothing about carpentry, nothing, would come in and nitpick everything he did. So the lady the next day would come in, well, you should have done this, and you should have done that, and you should have done this, and you should. And he was going, I'm not done yet, right? Leave me alone. And so finally, putting the cabinets up, and another night of this. And this was night after night after night. And he was a Christian, but he had a hot temper. And finally, he'd had enough. He went out to his truck and got a big hammer, came back and knocked all the carpet, everything he'd done out of the wall. He said, now have your dad do it. Not a Christian thing to do, not the right thing to do, but this is what these people were facing. A carpenter's going to come and tell me how to fish? You got to have the right attitude when God is speaking to you. Hello? You can't know it all when God's trying to get through to you. You've got to be at the place where God is able to talk to you. And I like Peter's response, and this is the verse that I want to hone in on today. And Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. Nevertheless, at your word. I want to ask you, when's the last time you pushed through and did something just because of the word's sake? You see, your miracle is happening, is waiting on the other side of your obedience to what God is saying. But the first criteria is that you have to press through to listen. And then you have to have ears to hear. Come on. Jesus said, talking to a bunch of people, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. We have to be a people who is seeking after God. And like the song that we sang, I love that song, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. It's hard to listen with all the confusion that we have going on in our lives. There's one line that says, quiet my heart, I'm listening. When I sing that, I'm singing that to myself. Like, Bruce, quiet your heart. Listen. Listen. Why? Because I need to know the Word of God so that I can act on the Word of God. And I need to know the Word of God that God is speaking to me. Are you listening to me? God is speaking to me a certain word. I need to hear that word so that I can act on that word if I want a full catch on the other side. I think that many times we're not listening because we're not prepared to hear what God is saying to us. How many read the Bible like God is going to speak to you that day? right? How many read the Word of God like, wait a minute, God, I need a word from you, so I'm going to get into the Bible, and I'm going to listen to what you say, and then I'm going to quiet my heart down. And what does that mean? That means shut your mind up. That's not easy to do. We have so many distractions. Distractions from hearing the Word of God. But we have to be determined that I'm going to get what God is saying. Sometimes you go to a meeting, you go someplace, and there's so many distractions around, but you got to be like the guy that goes, man, I'm getting to the front. I'm going to push my way to the front because I'm going to get what God has for me today. I'm going to get a word today for what God has for me. Why? Because I can't act on a word that I don't hear. And I've got to press sometimes to hear it. What does that mean? I have to discipline my mind to be able to receive what God has for me. I've got to discipline myself to say, Lord, I've got a lot of distractions. Distractions of my own making, distractions that other people are trying to bring me. And of course, the devil's trying to use everything to get me distracted because he doesn't want me to hear the word. Because once I hear the word, then I have an ability to obey the word. And if I obey the word, then there's a miracle on the other side of that obedience. Right? But the word that you hear will not all the time make sense to your pea brain. Come on. Let down the nets. Go on out. Boys, you've got them all put away. They're, you know, you've dealt with the nets for the day. They're put away. I want you to get them all back out. Get into the boat and go out to where I tell you, and then let down your nets. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because we've passed the time for fishing. Right? It's daytime. That's not the best time to catch fish. But Lord, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net. God will speak to you some things that don't make sense to you, but when you've heard them from God, you need to act on them even when they don't make sense. Are you listening to me? You have to make sure that it's from God and not from somebody else, but you've heard a word from God, and then you have to stand and act on it and begin to continue to confess it and believe it and go for it. Nevertheless, Lord, it's your will. I'll do it. Right? Lord, it doesn't make any sense for me to give this money. It doesn't make any sense for me to take cookies over to my neighbor. Lord, it doesn't make any sense to me to go to that doctor. Lord, it doesn't make any sense to me but at your word, I'm going to do what you say. Because I know, Lord, that you would not bring me a word that would not be for my good. Amen. Do you know what it costs to serve the Lord? Everything. Everything. Come on, salvation is free from the standpoint that you didn't have to earn it or pay for it. But watch this. It's not free from the standpoint that you don't have to die to yourself to walk in it. Amen. I'm going to walk in the Lord. I'm going to walk in the things of the Lord. I'm going to do what He tells me to do, whether it makes sense or not. Sometimes it's hard. You have to keep going when you want to quit. When things don't look the way you think they should look, you got to quit. You know, you can't quit. You got to keep going. You got to keep in the Word. You got to keep going. You got to keep listening to what the Lord is saying. And then when you get a word, you got to stand on that word no matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, no matter what wind comes against you, this is what I'm going to do. Because in the Bible, some of the great stories that we hear and some of the testimonies that we just revel in, we go, wow, wasn't that cool? They came to a man or a woman who heard something that didn't make sense to them, but they acted on it anyway. And when they acted on it, God blessed them. What am I telling you today? I'm telling you it's time for us to be seeking a word from God for our lives, for what we're going through. How many have ever been in the situation, I don't know what to do? and your brain gets scrambled and you're running to and fro trying to figure out, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do? I'm telling you, what we need to do at that point is say, I'm just going to set some time aside. And it might be 5 minutes in the morning. It might be 10 minutes at night. And I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek God because I need a word from God so that I can go forward in what God has me to do. But watch this. Once you hear a word from God, it will be the very thing that you can stand on till you see the victory that's coming. Are you with me? Let's look at a couple examples. This is so good. Hallelujah. You know, Jehoshaphat, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And you know, James said, you're not supposed to be just a hearer of the word, but you're supposed to be a doer of the word. Everybody say, doer of the word. And not a doer of your favorite word. Right? But a doer of the word. Sometimes the word doesn't make sense. Sometimes the word goes against society. Come on. Well, we're living in a time where things have just gone haywire. But are you going to continue to do the word, or are you going to let the world contaminate your thinking? I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I've heard from the Lord. Do you know that when I got saved, I heard from the Lord? The Holy Spirit came and spoke to my heart, and I got saved. I know that I got saved. I know that my life changed. I know when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I know certain things that have happened in my life, and I am not going backwards. Because I heard, and I'm going to use that hearing for the rest of my life. Are you with me? Listen to this. You know the story. Most of you know the story, but let's listen to it again. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea and from Syria, and they are at Hazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. I'm in trouble. Right? I'm in trouble. There's a lot of people out to get me. There's a plan to take me down. There's a plan to take me under. There's a plan to destroy my family. There's a plan to destroy my business. There's a plan to destroy whatever it is that God has put you in charge of or is in your life. There's a plan. I'm in trouble. So Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. In other words, when he got in trouble, when he saw that there was calamity coming to him, the first thing that he did is he said, I need to seek God. You see, if we want the miracle, we have to be in a position where we're willing to seek God. Seek God. I sought God. I asked Him. I prayed 5 minutes. I asked Him, Lord, what's the answer? And that's not seeking God. Seeking God is setting aside a time to say, Lord, I need to hear from You. And I'm not moving or I'm not getting out of this time of seeking until I do hear from You. Why? Because I need to hear the word of the Lord for me. Why? Because I need to know when it is and where it is and how it is You want me to move from this circumstances, because I believe I need a miracle from You. Come on. The enemy will try to steal the word from you. He's been trying all morning. Are you going to let him? Are you going to let him? So when you get in trouble, it's time to seek God. But not just a cursory seeking God. But saying, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to set aside some time for fasting and prayer. In other words, I'm going to deny myself what I want to do, and I'm going to seek God no matter what other happened, because I need to hear from God in this situation. I need to hear from God. Did you know that we have loved ones that are in trouble? Did you know that we have loved ones? Just this morning, I and many of you saw this, that on Facebook, I said Marie Jeffries about her sister Debbie. She passed away, and I guess she's been living in a homeless camp for 3 or 4 years in Seattle. And, you know, I don't know how she died or whatever, but probably the drug use had part to do with it, right? But she knew Jesus. She loved Jesus. I have no doubt about that in my mind. But the deal is Lord, we got to seek God for the power of God to come and straighten out some messes in our families, in our homes. I can't win people with arguments. I need the power of God, and I need to set aside some time when I'm facing the situation to hear from God. So Jehoshaphat did just that. He said, listen, we need an answer. I don't have it. But watch this. So Judah gathered together and asked help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, you are not God of heaven, and you do not rule over all the kingdoms and nations in your hand. Is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who has drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they that dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. Come on, in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry to you in our afflictions, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, reward us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They're kind of in a tough spot. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Bethani, the son of Jeel, the son of Matani, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah. See, they were seeking God for an answer, and an answer came. An answer came. Here's the answer. Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. See, you need to hear that in the midst of what you're going through. You need to hear it. You need to hear it, that this battle is not yours, but it's God's. Because if you don't hear it, you won't act on it. You can't have peace in the middle of a storm if you don't understand that the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Your children do not belong to you. Your business does not belong to you. Your house does not belong to you. Your car does not belong to you. Because when you gave Jesus your heart, you said, you're Lord of my life, and everything that you own belongs to Him. Right? So his responsibility is to take care of the things that concern you. Because the things that concern you don't belong to you. I've told you the story when my son was born and God spoke to me. I said to him, I was looking at Michael and I said, "You love me this much?" And he said, "Oh, so much more." Michael is a gift that I've given to you, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. Right? And that's truth. That's truth. But watch this. He said, "Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz." How would you like to be from Ziz? "And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now think about this. Lord, we've got an army coming against us. You're telling us to go out and stand before them, but we don't have to do anything. I don't know about you, but the first impression would be, really? Yeah, they're real. They got swords, and there's a lot of them, and they're coming out against me. But we've heard from the Lord. See, you can't stand against the things that are against you unless you hear from the Lord. You have to have a scripture. You have to have something that God is speaking to you. You have to be able to hear from God. And know that God is with you, that God is for you. Hallelujah. Verse 19, "And then the Levites and the children of the Korathites and the children of the Korites stood to praise the Lord God with Israel and their voices with a loud and high." So you know the story. They went out before and they began to sing. "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Here's the army of Judah, but in front of the army of Judah is the choir and the worshipers. Praise the Lord! Here's what I'm saying. In seeking God in the midst of your trouble, praise should be on your lips. Why? Because you know that God is for you, that God is with you, that God is your answer, and that He will answer you in the time that you need to be answered. Come on. It doesn't matter what happens to me. If I know that God is with me and He's for me, I can stand in the midst of whatever I'm going through. It doesn't make sense to sing praise when you're in trouble, when you're hurting, when you seem to be defeated. But that's the very time that you need to stand up and trust that God is with you and begin to worship Him in the middle of what you're going through. Whatever it is, because here's the deal. If you haven't guessed it already, you don't have the answer. Most of the time, we're not smart enough to get the answer. But praise puts our attention onto Him rather than us. And that puts us in a position to hear. Are you listening to me? It's time for us to come back to the place of worship and praise. God, I know. So the whole story goes that they were told and they were instructed, you're going to go out, you're not going to have to fight. Didn't make sense to them, but they heard the Word of God and they obeyed the Word of God and they acted on what the Word of God said. It doesn't make military strategy to send the choir out before the swords and everything else, but they did what God told them to do, and the result was they won the victory. I said they won the victory. If we want to win the victory, we've got to hear from God, and then we've got to do what God's telling us to do, even when it doesn't make sense. "Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I'll let down the net." And I'm all for quoting the Word of God and having all the promises of God before you and you know, just speaking them all the time. I'm all for that. But when you're in the midst of a battle, you need to narrow and shrink that down to just one or two words that you can stand on, that you can fight with, that you can discipline your mind to, because those are the very things that will put you over and put you through. Right? And I don't need a promise that worked for you. I need a promise that I know that God is speaking to me. Do you understand? It's great, and people have read testimony and read books of how God has done some awesome things, and they've read the books and the testimony. They go, oh, bless God, I believe God for that. I want the results that they had. And so they act on something that they haven't heard from the Lord, but from somebody else. And what they need to do is do the steps that the person did to hear the Word of God for themselves, hear for themselves, stand on the Word of God and go forward as God's directing them. Right? God is with us. God is for us. He has a Word for us. Hallelujah. I needed a Word this morning, and the Lord gave me a Word, a verse of Scripture, as I was preparing even for this morning, something for me personally, and He's so good to do it. He's so good to do it. In Judges chapter 7, we won't turn there, but this is the story of Gideon. And everybody remembers the story of Gideon. Gideon was hiding because he was afraid, right? And an angel came to him. And the angel said, hey, you. Who, me? Yes, you. You mighty man of valor. There's nobody else here. You talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. An angel showed up and said, you're a man of valor. Well, I guess I am. Right? And God used him to go out and fight. But watch this. God said, listen, gather some men together. And then he started whittling the men down. He had a great army. He's thinking, boy, This God thing's pretty cool. I got all these men with me. We're going to go fight. And God said, you got too many. He said, listen, you're going to go down here. You're going to drink some water. All those who drink one way, send them home the other. And he's going, well, maybe most of them will drink the right way. And the reality is only 300 of them drank the correct way. From thousands to fight to 300 to fight. God, did I hear you right? Yeah, you heard me right. Gideon acted on what he heard, sent those home, and kept the 300. We've got to begin to hear so that we can act, and when we act, God will act on our behalf. But God's not going to or required to act on a word that you've made up for yourself. You have to hear from the Lord for yourself. What are you saying? And then stand on that word. Right? God, did you call me to do this? Is this something that you asked me to do? Then God, I'm going to continue to stand no matter what. And if everybody leaves, if everybody goes away, Lord, whatever you speak to me, will see to it that I get the victory in this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at one more. Very familiar, but look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will do this. Lord, it doesn't seem like praying is working, but Lord, even at your word, I will pray for all men in the Spirit. Come on. It doesn't seem like it's happening, Lord, but I will do what you've asked me to do. I've been giving and giving and giving, and Lord, it seems like I'm going backwards and backwards and backwards. But Lord, you said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, you'd cause men to give unto my bosom. Lord, I'm just thanking you for the ability to give. I'm going to give no matter what it takes. I'm going to give away everything if that's what you ask me to give away. If you're Lord of my life, only my total obedience to what I hear is worthy. In other words, Lord, unless I'm doing all of that, then I'm not meeting the standards of what you deserve. Come on, what you deserve. Romans chapter 4, start verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Get this picture. Here's Abraham, and God's in Abraham. He doesn't have a son through Sarah. He's old. But because he was with God and because God was with him, when God spoke, he believed. He began to act on it. Now watch this. Sometimes God will give us a word that we progressively need to meditate on and walk out, because sometimes we'll make the wrong turn and we have to come back to the place where we were to start over so that the promise can come. But let's continue to read here. Verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. What has God spoken to you? Have you lost hope? Because some situations seem hopeless. Right? Some situations, well, God, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too, this doesn't make sense, Lord. You see the way the country's going, Lord. Who knows what's going to happen? But you see, contrary to hope, we have to believe in hope. How can we believe in hope? How can we have expectations when every one of our expectations seems to be dashed? Because we believe the one who spoke it. The one who calls those things which be not as though they are. If God said, let down your net, I'm going to let down my net. I'm going to do what doesn't make sense. I'm going to send the praisers out, right? I'm going to kick the thousands out and just keep the 300 because God has spoken. Because God has spoken. Hallelujah. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Unbelief will come, but you've got to stand against the unbelief when you've heard. What is God saying to me? Fear not. God, I've got a lot of things to be afraid of. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, shall be a non-existent thing. In the midst of people coming and telling you things that are contrary to what you're believing for, in the midst of struggle where they say that everything is going to go to heck in a handbasket, you can say, no, 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 I have a promise. Right? I'm able to stand because God is standing with me. I'm able to do this because God's word is in me. I'm able to do this because the word of the Lord has come to me. Are you with me? Right? It's time for us to get to the place where we're saying, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to continue. I'm going to go on. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to quit. Lord, I don't care what's happening around me. I don't care about the situations in the city or in the country or in the world for that matter, Lord. I believe that you're with me, and I'm part of your remnant, Lord, that is going to stand till the end. Lord, I will not bow my knee to the enemy. I will not bow to anything else, Lord. With your strength, with your help, with the word that I've heard, I'm going to stand and see the victory be mine in Jesus' name. Anybody need victory this morning? Right? Anybody's facing something this morning? Here's what I'm telling you. Set some time aside for yourself. Seek God for yourself. Right? Get out of... You know, Some of you will remember this show, some will not. But you remember when the cone of silence came down? Get smart, right? The cone of silence came down, and so they couldn't hear anything outside, and nobody could hear inside. Well, we need the cone of silence over us when we're seeking the Lord. And sometimes that takes some work because your mind wants to race 100 directions. Lord, you said, if I seek you, I'll find you. I need a word, Lord, for my situation. I need a word, Lord, for what I'm going through. I need a word, Lord. And once you get that word, then you need to stand on that word. You need to act on that word. You need to say, Lord, you said not to worry. So, Lord, I refuse to worry. And when worry starts knocking on the door, I'm going to say, no, God said not to worry. So, no, thank you today. Come on. You know, there's verses of Scripture all over. Do you know that He said in His Word, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Is that in your Bible? But is that for you? Only if you hear it. But when you hear it, then you have to do it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Casting all of your cares except the really big ones. Right? No, it's casting all your cares upon Him. What does that mean? Lord, I'm giving this to you. Take it. I refuse to walk under the weight of it because it belongs to you. And then, but the enemy's going to come back. But yes, but. And what about this? And what about that? And what about? And you say, oh no, I cast that on the Lord. When He speaks to me to do something, I'll do it. But the results I'm going to have to leave to Him. Because I can't make it happen. Right? I can't do it myself. But I trust that if He says to me, go out and launch into the deep and let down the net. And if I do it, He'll be there. And I can do it. Glory to God. I believe that I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. I believe that all things are possible to him who believe. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. And I refuse to bow down to the enemy's pressure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to God. If God be for me, who can be against me? He is for you. He is with you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. There's so many times in my life that I haven't done what you've spoken to us today. And for that, I ask for forgiveness. I pray that everybody that's listening to me, whether it's online or sitting in this room, Lord, that you would speak a word to them that they can stand on, that they can go into the fight that's going to be tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, that they can have that word to stand on, Lord. And Father, whatever you tell us, we declare it that we will do. Lord, right now, the enemy is trying to steal the peace of your saints. And we refuse to let him in Jesus' name. We refuse to let him. I think there's some people in this room and maybe watching online that have been living in torment. Did you know there's an antidote to torment? It's letting him love you. Jesus loves you. Let him love you. Let him touch you. Right now. Right here. Say, Lord, I need your love. Would you love on me? Let him do it. Right here. Right now. And as he does it, peace will become, will come. The enemy will try to steal it. But don't let him. Just let his peace come to you. If you're watching online, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the whole thing right there. He paid the price for your sins. He paid the price so that you could be right with God. You know that you're not good enough to be with God. That only through the blood of Jesus can we have access to the Creator of everything. But He loves you. He wants you to know that He sent Him for you. So just bow your knee to Him. Just confess your sins and just say, Lord, I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who took my sins. So Jesus, be Lord of my life. I give you my life completely. If you do that from your heart and you say it with your mouth, the Bible says that you will be saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, all those who are watching online, as we sign off now, Lord, I ask you to bless them, to keep them, to touch them. Give them a word, Lord. Give them a word that they can stand on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. While the worship team comes up, we'll just do a song of worship. If you need prayer for anything, I believe the anointing, the same anointing that was in Jesus is in us to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, all of those things. All of those who are oppressed of the enemy, God is here to deliver us from that oppression in Jesus' name. I believe that with all my heart. Amen.